Hi, this is Mike Verdiccio. Welcome to this podcast for confidenceandjoy.com. Today is Monday, June the 8th, 2009. You know, I've mentioned before about how hot it gets here in the summertime in Arizona. In fact, the hottest day ever recorded here in Phoenix was 122 degrees Fahrenheit. That was on June the 26th, 1990. That was just 2 years before we moved back here, and I'm glad we missed it. But we have seen a lot of hot summers since moving back here in 1992. But here's what's very unusual. Yesterday it was 92, today they're predicting 92, and tomorrow the forecasters say it's only going to be 88 degrees. Are you kidding me? A high of 88 degrees in June in Phoenix? That's almost unbelievable. In fact, they're predicting no triple digits for the rest of the week. Well, all right, we'll take it. All right, sorry, I didn't mean to get off on a major weather report here, but, you know, for us, it's pretty exciting. And what I really want to talk about on this podcast is what happened and what's going to happen. You know, why is it that the details of something negative seem to be so vivid in some people's minds, while the details of their dreams and goals seem so vague? Now, let me talk about this for a minute. How many times do you hear someone say to you, "Guess what just happened to me?" And of course, you know, we can't say, "I don't care, I'm not interested." And so we all usually say, "Well, gee, what happened?" And most of the time, the person begins telling you about something that happened that's not very pleasant. And here's the interesting part. When people tell you about what happened, they relate it in fabulous detail. You know, I find it interesting that when it comes to problems or negative things in life, there are some people who seem to be able to relate and talk about those things in exquisite detail. Even if it's something that happened way back in the past, some people seem to remember it and repeat it as if it happened only a few minutes ago. But on the other hand, if you were to ask these same people where they are headed in their life and what the future holds for them, you would usually at best get a vague, short answer like, "Oh, just hoping for the best, you know, maybe retire when I'm 65. Now think about this for a minute. What's wrong with this picture? Why are people eloquent and excited with many clear details about negative situations instead of being eloquent and excited about the things that really matter? When it comes to the future of their own lives, why don't they have a clear vision? If you've ever wondered why people are so negative and unsuccessful, here's one of the biggest reasons. They have trained their minds to focus on negative situations and have chosen to not focus on their future and their unlimited potential for success. Yeah, I said unlimited potential. What, who, me? Well, come on now, doesn't the Bible say that as Christians we're more than conquerors? I would say that sounds like unlimited potential for success, wouldn't you? All right, here's an example of something that happens. Someone has a flat tire, and that's certainly not a positive situation. I've been there, you probably have too. However, one person may not even mention the event, or if he does, it's just a passing remark like, "Yeah, I had a flat tire yesterday." But for someone else, you better look out. You're going to get a 20-minute story starting of what happened before the tire went flat, blaming everyone who's at fault over the flat tire, explaining how the tire company doesn't make tires like they should, and, you know, the roads are in such poor shape, and, boy, those idiots that throw things out in the road, and on it goes. Then after all that comes the part about the actual changing of the tire and all the negative things that surrounded it. You know, they might say that the jack was too hard to get to and complain about those lousy lug nuts and tell you about how you sweat so much out there in the heat trying to change a tire and then it takes so long to do it and your hands get all dirty and get the point. Now compare all of those negative statements to someone who just says, "Oh yeah, I had a flat tire yesterday." You see, constantly focusing on negatives will train your mind to look for and then evaluate circumstances and situations from a negative point of view. The glass will always look half empty. But even more importantly, if you continue to focus on negatives, you're going to attract more negatives into your life. The Bible says, "As he thinks in his heart, so is he." So what kind of future can you expect for your life? Where's your focus? Not sure? Well, take note of what's going on in your mind and what's coming out of your mouth. If it's predominantly negative, complaining, blaming, and whining, well, then you can expect more of the same. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You know something? Your future is really your own choice. So instead of getting wrapped up in all the negatives around you, get a clear picture of where you want your life to go. Now, you can call it goals, you can call it dreams, whatever you like. Just be sure that you have a picture that's so clear in your mind that you could describe it to others with great passion and in great detail. I mean, think about it. How can you have confidence in God for what you desire if what you desire is vague and unclear? Remind yourself daily of exactly what it is you desire. Repeat that specific desire to yourself every day with passion and emotion. Keep the picture crystal clear. And when you pray, you'll be able to pray very specifically. You know what? There's always going to be flat tires. Just deal with them, forget about it, and move on. Why waste your brain power thinking about negative situations that are already over and done with? Instead, focus on the positive things around you. Do whatever you need to do to keep your vision alive by keeping the focus of your desire crystal clear. I want to read you a story from the book Chicken Soup for the Soul. Now, the one I have here is the 10th Anniversary Special Edition. I put a link below in case you're interested. Now, this book has a lot of great inspirational stories along with principles and practical techniques to help you make your dreams come true. I want to read one of those stories here in this book that Jack Canfield, one of the authors, relates. Now, I've read this story a number of times to audiences, and it really makes a great point. The name of this chapter here is called Follow Your Dream. This is a great story. And again, this is one of the authors, Jack Canfield, relating this story. I have a friend named Monty Roberts who owns a horse ranch in San Ysidro. He has let me use his house to put on fundraising events to raise money for youth at-risk programs. The last time I was there, he introduced me by saying, "I want to tell you why I let Jack use my house." It all goes back to a story about a young man who was the son of an itinerant horse trainer who would go from stable to stable, racetrack to racetrack, farm to farm, and ranch to ranch, training horses. As a result, the boy's high school career was continually interrupted. When he was a senior, he was asked to write a paper about what he wanted to be and do when he grew up. That night, he wrote a 7-page paper describing his goal of someday owning a horse ranch. He wrote about his dream in great detail and even drew a diagram of a 200-acre ranch showing the location of all the buildings, the stables, and the track. Then he drew a detailed floor plan for a 4,000-square-foot house that would sit on the 200-acre dream ranch. He put a great deal of his heart into the project, and the next day, he handed it in to his teacher. 2 days later, he received his paper back. On the front page was a large red F with a note that read, "See me after class." The boy with the dream went to see the teacher after class and asked, "Why did I receive an F?" The teacher said, "This is an unrealistic dream for a young boy like you. You have no money. You come from an itinerant family. You have no resources. Owning a horse ranch requires a lot of money. You have to buy the land, you have to pay for the original breeding stock, and later you'll have to pay large stud fees. There's no way you could ever do it." Then the teacher added, "If you will rewrite this paper with a more realistic goal, I will reconsider your grade." The boy went home and thought about it long and hard. He asked his father what he should do. His father said, "Look, son, you have to make up your own mind on this. However, I think it's a very important decision for you." Finally, after sitting with it for a week, the boy turned in the same paper, making no changes at all. He stated, "You can keep the F, and I'll keep my dream." Monty then turned to the assembled group and said, "I tell you this story because you are sitting in my 4,000-square-foot house. in the middle of my 200-acre horse ranch. I still have that school paper framed over the fireplace. He added, the best part of the story is that 2 summers ago, that same school teacher brought 30 kids to camp out on my ranch for a week. When the teacher was leaving, he said, look, Monty, I can tell you this now. When I was your teacher, I was something of a dream stealer. During those years, I stole a lot of kids' dreams. Fortunately, you had enough gumption not to give up on yours. Don't let anyone steal your dreams. Follow your heart, no matter what. Well, isn't that a great story? You know, it doesn't matter where the economy or the stock market or the housing or, you know, when it comes to your dreams, God is bigger than all of that. God has promised to give you the desires of your heart. You don't have to give up on your dreams. Have you ever noticed that as children get older, many of their dreams seem to vanish? At age 5 or 6 or 7, kids are excited, they're anxious, they're eager, they've got some of the wildest dreams you've ever heard of. But sadly, slowly over time, as they get older, those dreams just seem to slip away. And when it comes to adults, many, many of them simply have no dreams. It's all they can do to just get by. And so, thinking about that, let me tell you about Rachel's dream. She just turned 13 years old, and she has a dream. A few weeks ago, our friend Doug was traveling back to California, and he spent the evening with us. He had his 2 daughters and one of their friends with him. One of his daughters is named Rachel. I was sitting out on the patio after dinner talking to Rachel about school. I asked her if she had any plans after high school. I was delighted with her answer. She knows exactly what she wants to do. She told me she wants to go to culinary school, either in New York or Paris, but she said it'll probably be New York because her Aunt Candace lives there. She wants to learn how to do pastries. But her dream doesn't stop there. She described what her restaurant pastry shop is going to look like. She even envisions a special place for family and friends to sit and taste her new creations. She was so excited describing her vision and added that most of her friends have no idea what they want to do. So, will her dream ever come true? I don't know. No one can say for sure. But if you ask Rachel, she's absolutely convinced. Time will tell, but that's not the point. The point is, she has a dream. And I know that there are those who would say, well, that's nice. Seeing it only as a child daydreaming, doubting that it will ever come to pass. But you know something? There were things that Rachel didn't mention to me. She didn't say anything about the current economy. She didn't have any doubts about what the future holds for her. She didn't mention anything about how the current housing market or stock market might have an effect on her dream. And again, I know no one can predict the future, but this little girl has a big dream. You know, the sad part is that many big girls and big boys have abandoned their dreams for one reason or another. They've accepted what they call harsh reality and are doing all they can to just get by. Well, that begs the question, when do you stop dreaming? When do you give up on your dreams? When do you just forget all those dreams and accept life as it is? I say, never. You know, one of the biggest reasons people abandon their dreams is that they can't see any way for them to come to pass. Some feel cheated out of their dreams. Others feel stupid for even having the dream in the first place. But what's wrong with having dreams and goals? Just as no one can predict if Rachel's dream will come true, no one can predict that your dream won't come true. Well, no one except you, that is. You know, when you give up on your dream, then it is certain that it just will not happen. But why not keep your dreams alive and even add some new ones, even if they never happen? Instead of looking at where life is today, why not look forward to where life can be tomorrow? Many people have a hard time doing that because they're afraid of failing. I'll tell you something. I would rather fail at trying than never try at all. And I look forward to someday sitting in a special section for family and friends. I look forward to tasting some new fancy pastry and telling Rachel, "Wow, this is really, really good. What do you call it?" I also look forward to reminding Rachel of the time that she and I sat out on my patio when she was almost 13 years old. Don't let anyone talk you out of your dreams, no matter how old you are. You know, in 1996, George Dawson wanted to write a book. That was his goal. That was his dream. But he decided that maybe he should learn how to read first. So at the age of 98, he took an adult literacy class. He had his book published at the age of 101. The book is titled, Life is So Good. Oh, and by the way, he finally got his GED at the age of 103. Keep your dreams alive. Trust God and ask Him to help you. Well, that's it for this podcast. If you have any comments, love to hear from you. Just type them in below. Till next time, this is Mike Verdiccio. Have a great day.